Blog Talk Radio.
Come on and put your hands together, everybody. Yeah.
Devil told Eve she could eat from the tree. She would surely die. Told Adam it's alright, and they both took a bite and lost their lives. Now he tells you, do what you wanna do. God will understand. So now you feel just inside. You do your thing on the side, and still saying man. Don't you be deceived.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that's within me, bless his holy name. This is the Ready Church from YouTube. Oh, yes, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we're going to what? Rejoice and be glad in it. I tell you, here we go again. Every day you hear something new, but I tell you, Jesus said he's still the same. Thank God we know he's still the same, even though they're coming out with all this and new that, and changing over, crossing up, folding it up, taking it up, taking it under, I tell you. But I just thank God for knowing the true and living God in this last hour. I tell you, so much coming at you in this last hour. But I believe that we must redeem the time and not waste time. No time to waste on what we see today. Jesus is on his way back. I don't care what nobody says. You better know for yourself what the word of God said. And Jesus is on his way back. The devil can recognize the time, but seems like the church can't even, you know, they're blind to the things that are going on in the church. But the devil recognizes he has but what, a short time. That's why he's just running and doing it, going to and fro and seeking whom he may devour, seeking whom he may destroy in this last hour. I tell you, but it don't have to be you. Ain't that right? I believe, you know, that's what we're seeing today is a lot of just false teaching and false doctrine, and whoever is teaching it is a false prophet. Oh, yes, according to the word of God, the spirit of Balaam, the spirit of Balak, you know, it's definitely in the church today, the spirit of greed and covetousness and idol worship. Oh, yes, everywhere. People just got double mind, twisted mind. Don't know which way to go, but the word of God said, I will keep thee in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. That's why we're trying to direct your mind to the word of God. Maybe you got no focus and maybe you don't know which way to turn. I tell you, turn to the word of God. I tell you, everything you need to know, everything that you need or desire is in the word of God. Oh, yes, I know the enemy comes to play tricks on our mind. The battle's in your mind today. But you tell the devil he's a liar on today, because the word of God said, I will keep thee in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee on today. I just thank and praise God for his word on today. You better know the straight is the gate, and there is the way. And the word of God said, few. It didn't say we're going to be many, but he said, few be that find it. Don't you want to be one of the few? Oh, yes. When you look around and you see all this stuff that's taking place, and I know how Noah must have felt. I tell you, you were building that ark. And I tell you, and I know people would just talk about him. Look at him. He crazy. Look at that crazy old man. It ain't never rain. Oh, ain't no flood, you know, coming. And he's telling, you know, telling them what thus says the Lord, and they don't want to hear. And that's what we hear at the Ready Church, is trying to tell you that Jesus is soon to come. Get your house in order. Oh, yes, the hearse wheel is rolling every minute, every moment, every second. Oh, yes, Jesus is soon to come. And there's an appointment that everybody's got to make. Oh, yes, there's an appointment for you. You can't call out and say, hey, I like you doing your job. You know how you do sometimes. Hey, I don't feel good today, and I'm not making it today. But this is one appointment I'm telling you that you won't be calling out on. I tell you, there's a fact that you were born, and there's surely a fact that you're going to die. But I tell you, you can make preparation for where you want to go when you leave here. Oh, yes, I tell you, no compromise. No compromise in this last hour. You better stand for righteousness. Stand for holiness. Well, I tell you, you know, I just get started off, and I get so excited when I think about the word of God, and then, you know, you think about what's taking place around about you. And I tell you, you get a little discouraged when you see that people are falling and don't have to, because the same God that's keeping you, he will keep them. You know, he said, I'll keep you, and I'm able to keep you from falling on today. And that's why we're still standing in this last hour. Welcome to my guest on today. I know I have Sister Tracy. Are you there? Sister Tracy, are you there?
I'm here.
Praise
the Lord, everybody. Bless God.
Bless the Lord. And I have Brother Ajudando La Gente from the YouTube channel. God bless you.
Glad to be here.
Thank you, Jesus. Also, Amen. Sister Johnson, there? Sister Johnson, are you with us today?
Yes. Praise the Lord. Praise
the Lord's sake. I tell you, it's another day the Lord has kept us.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And I'm glad about it. I'm glad about it. I tell you. It's just so much going on around about us in this last hour. We must stand, and having done all, we got to continue to stand. We'll be coming from the word of God at this moment. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 5. It says, perverse, disputing of men of corrupt minds and destituted of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness from such touch. Withdraw thyself. It didn't say pull yourself to it. It tells us to withdraw yourself away from that. Ain't that right?
Amen.
Amen. I tell you, but we see so much compromising going on today. I tell you, we got to shout out, shout loud, cry loud, and spare not, and lift up your voice on today like a trumpet. I know I got some trumpet tears today.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Bless God.
Hallelujah. Ephesians 6 and 17. Oh, yes. Ephesians 6 and 17. Y'all know we'll have but a short time, but we got to get the word out of here. Is that
Amen.
Right? Amen. Oh,
yes.
Yes, Lord. Ephesians 6 and 17. All right. Ephesians 6 and 17. Right there, huh? Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Oh, I tell you, when you look around, you can see. I'm telling you, the sword of the Spirit, the word of God on today, cutting up everything that's not like him on today. And he can use us to do it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Y'all come on. Let's get to talking. I'm telling you, I've seen so much today. I was looking where a young lady, she was, I guess, a runner or something, and I guess her team leader wanted her to put on this shirt that had 666 on it, and she refused to put it on because, you know, the mark of the beast, she didn't want to put that shirt on. So, you know, I mean, to try to persuade the young lady, you know, that's her right. You know, it's called the number of the mark of the beast, 666. On her shirt, and she refused to run. You know, I'm telling you, the devil is coming at our youth. He's coming at all, but he really wants our youth. But I'm so glad that the young lady took a stand. She refused to put that 666 on it, you know?
Yes.
Oh, yes. I mean, the church is getting, you know, the compromising church, the pastor taught on the Church of Pergamos last night. And I tell you, it just seemed like, you know, the body of Christ is just compromising, pastors, leaders, and stuff, just, you know, just compromising, all for greed.
Right.
Amen.
But God still got some understanding.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Are you
standing?
I'm standing.
Hallelujah.
He still has his remnant that haven't bowed.
Oh, yes. Come on, y'all. Come on. What y'all seeing today? I'm telling you, every time you turn around, it's something. We got to help these people.
Amen. I was looking at an article that was on the WordPress about the pastor that got fired for praying for the school children.
Oh, yeah.
And that's very disturbing. You're going to fire somebody that's praying? It's prayer that's keeping us here. You know,
that's
God
true.
Told us that men should always pray and not faint or lose heart. And you have to pray, like you said, in order to withstand in this evil day, you have to have a prayer life.
That's
Amen.
True.
Yes.
And, you know, I was thinking when you were talking, you know, I was telling Adjudanda about, you know, how it seems that the nation, when something like the 9/11, everybody, you know, running, and they was talking about prayer, you know, but when they don't want to pray until something tragic happens, you know, then everybody running to the church house, and then they stop for a while, you know what I'm saying? It's like once you present them with something, and then everybody wants to pray, and then all of a sudden, no prayer. You know,
right.
Even the president. Every now and then they come up, when you see them up there praying and stuff, but you don't want us to pray.
Right.
Something wrong with it.
Right, it's wickedness. The devil understands the power of prayer. I mean, he really understands how much trouble he's in when the saints get to praying. And with all of the, I mean, it amazes me because with all of the shootings that have been happening in the schools and stuff, and you're mad because someone's praying, you know, that the kids will be protected when they, I didn't understand. I mean, to the point of firing this person, I mean, it's crazy, but the moment, and what I'm wondering is, you know, when is the church going to really, really, really stand up and take a stand? I mean, really stand up and take a stand. Because they'll all be wanting to pray. You know, when 9/11 happened, I mean, the whole country was talking about praying.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, and it's like, you know, you can't take God off the shelf when you get scared and then put him back in a box and stick him up under the shelf when you feel like you're okay. But that's what these people have gotten used to doing.
That's true.
The violence that's in school today, people ought to be, I mean, the parents should have been protesting the firing of this bus driver.
Yes, I agree.
You know, they should have been protesting and demanding that they give her job back.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, everybody's silent, you know.
Wow.
What you
mm-hmm.
got to say,
Andre?
Okay.
Well, I was thinking about that. He said that, you know, he said you if you got something good, you want to share it with somebody. So,
mm-hmm.
just fire him for his, I guess, so-called repeat offenses of praying for the students. I think that he really did take a good stand there, and it's not common for most people to take that type of stand. He said we got to get Christians to be able to be Christians and not have to be closet Christians.
Right.
Want to share it with somebody. So
that's true. I know even on my job, you know, I may talk to a customer and they may ask for prayer. I'm going to pray right then.
Right.
And I know a lot of times, you know, me and the First Lady, we talk a lot, you know, my pastor's wife, and I'm at work and we praying on the phone and reading the scripture. So, you know, I just thank God for that. You have to be able to take a stand. If somebody comes to you and asks for prayer, are you supposed to turn them away? No, God told us to pray one for another.
Right.
That's true. But, you know, we can find something to talk about because every day there is something you know, going on in our nation, and, you know, it seems like the church has really, really, you know, just dwindled, you know, when it comes to taking a stand for anything, righteousness or holiness or anything. I was listening to someone was saying that church is not even called church no more. They're calling it at the main campus. Ain't that something?
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, they're doing away with the name church. We'll meet you at the main campus.
Wow.
That's terrible.
That is horrible.
The church is really in trouble. I mean, is there a church? Is it going to be a church? I mean, it's taking the church away. The main campus now. Like you're on a college campus.
Right.
Wow.
Well, you know, there's power in the name of Jesus, and any kind of way the enemy can find to remove it. I mean, but what is sad is that God has clearly identified for us in his word how to identify an antichrist spirit that,
right.
You know, them that creeped in unaware. But people are not paying attention to that, because the ones that are creeping in unaware, they're coming in with the prosperity gospel, and everybody wants to be prosperous, but all they're thinking about is the financial. But what they're not seeing is he's stealing away your soul.
That's true.
And there are no amount of physical riches that you can accomplish in this life that's worth your soul. I mean, hell is forever. It's not. You know, I heard this guy, I can't remember what his name was, and he made this statement. He said, if hell was only for 200,000 years, he said, I could deal with that. He said, because at least there's an end. He said, but there's no end to this thing. It's forever. And I think that people, either they just don't believe that, or they've really convinced themselves that they're okay. But it's like God's word, you know, God wasn't playing when he had his word written. He meant every jot and every tittle. He meant it. And we got to get to a place where we take him serious again. I had a young lady come to me today at work, and she said, I believe that God's calling me back to the church. You know, and then she started talking about, you know, going to church with her mother, and I said, God's calling you back to him.
There you go.
And I said, there's a difference. You know, there's a difference between you going to a building where a group of people are having ceremonial rites. And I'm not saying, I don't know anything about the church that she was going to. I don't know if they're on point with the word or if they're like, you know, the rest of, I have no idea, so I don't have anything ill or good to speak about it. But God is more concerned with you being connected to him than you being connected with a group of people. And, you know, if it's a group of people that's for real, I mean, if you're blessed to live in Virginia and go to Ready Church's church, then you're blessed. But I don't, and like I said, I have no idea. I don't even, honestly, I don't know if she's Catholic, Baptist, Presbyterian. But the thing was, like, no, God's calling you back to himself. And I began to share with her, these are the last days. And God, you know, Jesus is getting ready to show up and call us up to meet him. And I know that what I was saying sounded foreign to her because of what little bit I do know about how she grew up. But yet and still, it was an opportunity the Lord opened for me to be able to witness to her. But I believe that what he did was he kind of picked at her interest a little bit, because the look that went across her face was that of, huh? But at the same time, I could see the hunger. And so, I just began to just really share with her. And I said, you know, Jesus is going to call us up. I said, a trumpet is going to blow, and those that are right with God are going to be called up to meet him. And I said, it's called the rapture. And she's like, oh, yeah, you have heard about the rapture. And I began to explain to her, and I said, people that get left behind, I said, it's not going to be a pretty picture.
No, the tribulation is still not.
You know, and it's amazing because there is a scripture. I'm sorry, y'all. I am not good at memorizing where scripture is, but there's a scripture in the Word of God that talks about how in order for you to talk about Christ's returns, it causes your conscience to get right with Him. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? It's like the when you mention the return of Christ, it causes you to Oh, I hate when I do that because I can't remember what the scripture actually said. Because it's like I'm so used to, you know, I read the word and I know what the word says, but I've never been good at being able to like quote it back. I mean, I can quote some scriptures back, but it's a scripture and it's in the New Testament, and it's talking about, you know, I'm not saying it the way that it says it, but it's a scripture that talks about when in order for, you know, for you to talk about Christ's return, it causes you to be convicted about how you're living your life. It causes you to live right. Because how do you talk about Jesus coming back to get us and you live in raggedy? The two just don't mix. I'm gonna have to research it and find that passage of scripture. But there is a scripture in the New Testament somewhere that talks about that. It's really, when I came across it a while back, I was like, wow, you know, there's so much truth to that. Because how do I talk about, you know, if I'm married and my husband's been gone for 6 months, how do I talk excitedly about him returning and I haven't prepared for his return? You know, I'm going to make sure the house is clean. I'm going to make sure dinner's ready. And you know what I'm saying? You prepare for his return. How do you preach about preparing for his return, but you're not preaching about being prepared for his return?
Those
that teach the gospel must live the gospel. Is it that one?
I'm sorry.
You guys are breaking up. I said, do you hear me? I said, those that teach the gospel must live the gospel. Is it that one?
No, it's let me look it up. Let's see if I can find it. It was one of those that I kind of stumbled onto it. I hadn't seen it. And I was like, wow, but I have to find it.
Well, anyway, we know the Word of God is still quick and powerful, and that's in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, says the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword.
Yes.
And of furnace of soul and spirit and of joint and marrow, and is discerner of the intent of the heart. I tell you, we see, you know, smart, you know, need to get right, you know?
Yes, Lord. Thank you, God. Jeremiah 17 says the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it?
Amen.
Thank you, God.
I mean, but today, what we're seeing today and taking place in the house of God, I think even Deidre Hannon was saying, today up there something about these people need to just leave us alone or something like that and just go ahead on and just leave us, let us do, I guess, do whatever we want to do. But no, you are leading a lot of people astray, and that's what the enemy wants to do, is to close our mouth up from truth so these people can be led any kind of way, you know, include in and everything in your life, and then think you right and thinking that you headed down that straight and narrow path, and you're not.
Amen.
You know, and there's ahead. That's why the enemy wants us to close our mouth, because he knows that there's destruction ahead for these people. You know, Pastor, we're talking about those books going to be open. I know, you know, people that want to go into the book of Revelation and find out, you know, what the word really says, you got to give an account here.
Yes.
We all going to give an account. We all got to stand before a judgment seat. I mean, you know, I went with a young lady to court the other day, and we was in court, and I saw how, you know, people was all in a frenzy before they had to go up before the judge, and, you know, and it was for a traffic ticket and stuff. And I was like, Lord have mercy. The people, I said, Lord have mercy, they're getting jittery about this, and the people had to tell them to be quiet in the courtroom and stuff like that. And I was like, now, they think that
They're going to have a judge down here. They're all fretful about standing before this man. Well, you really got to stand before a just judge. You know,
yes.
Jesus, you got to stand before him. They were nervous about that. I said, well, they're nervous about a traffic ticket, and this is more important than a traffic ticket. This is going to be your soul.
Amen.
Your soul. Amen.
Wow.
Stand behind, you must stand before a just judge in this last hour. You know,
thank
the buses
Jesus.
Don't you know, you want to hear the book of life, and that's why the enemy is just trying to, you know, tear up everything when it comes to the thing of God and the house of God and prayer and fasting and seeking God and turning your plate down and getting along with God. Oh, no, he don't want none of that to be mentioned.
Right.
But
true.
This is a real battle here. This is a real devil that people are really having to face today. I mean, there's suicide on a rampage. People are losing their lives, losing their children's life.
Yes,
we have to tell them that Jesus is soon to come and get your house in order.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Wow.
Oh,
amen.
Yes, we got the truth. You know, he came that men may be saved. Ain't nobody talking about being saved. They're talking about just including in and everything in your life, and you're going to be all right. But the devil's lying to you today.
Amen.
Oh, my God. And the thing they want to say, I just see where the church have, you know, were and where they are today, I just want to cry out and shout out just all that within me to declare the word of God and prepare ye the way of the Lord, because he's coming.
Amen. Thank you, God.
Oh,
come,
yes, he's coming.
Lord Jesus.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I just heard yesterday where a young lady was babysitting for this other young lady, and she called her to come pick up her little girl, but she had sued a little girl downstairs, and before they could even get the little girl to the hospital, she had died. I'm telling you, so much stuff going on. We as the body of Christ, we got to get off today. I mean, this so-called church need to get off this prosperity and trying to seek all these treasures here on earth with people you could be ministering life to somebody.
Amen.
You know?
Yes. God.
People need to know that there is hope, you know.
Yes.
Oh, yes, there's still hope.
Thank
you. And by everything that we see that's going on around about us, Jesus is still the answer.
Amen.
Amen.
We're going to call his name. Well, we're going to call his name as Jesus. Still power in that name. Oh, yes. Name of Jesus. Oh,
Jesus.
Yes. And we want to know if they call on him, you call on him. And you trust him, he will hear and answer your prayer on today. He'll bring you out of whatever you whatever sickness you in, call on him.
Yes, Lord. Thank you.
Oh, yes. He'll bring you out. Oh, yes. Y'all know how I am. Y'all just go on.
I'm still looking for that scripture.
Okay. Go ahead, Sister Tracy.
Oh, no, I'm still looking for that scripture because it's going to bug me till I find it.
One of the verses in Revelation chapter 2, verse 15, talks about the Nicolaitans, how they thought that they were saved and that they could do anything with their body. And that's another spirit that's running rampant in the church, that people think they're saved, but they're out here fornicating. They're out here committing adultery, just doing in and everything, you know, that the world has to offer them. So a lot of people are being deceived. And the Lord, he mentioned earlier in this verse, in verse 13, he says, I know thou works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. So we know that Satan's seat, and now that you look at the church, he's right in the church because the church is doing just everything. And this was a compromising church, and that's where the church stands at today. They are compromising.
Right.
That's true. These pastors had let him make a seat right in the church, you know, and they just go along with it. They have opened themselves up to demonic spirit, demonic activities in the church, because you know all this filthiness that they're doing in the house of God is just not right. We did that in the world. We did that before we gave our lives to Christ. When he come in, he said, behold, all things become new.
Yes.
Everything becomes new. You renew your mind. The things you used to do, you won't want to do no more. Places you used to go, you won't want to go no more. Why are we going back to the place that God brought us out from? Because it's the enemy. He's using these leaders to turn you away from the things of God. But don't you be deceived on today.
Amen.
Get in the word for yourself.
Yes,
get in there.
Lord. Thank you, God.
You Jesus. No, I'm gonna just have to research it. I'm gonna find it though, because it wasn't something that I was studying. I just came across it, but it stayed in my head and in my heart. So I'm gonna find it. I may just have to give it out next time we come together to talk. But yeah, I was listening to. I don't even remember who it was, some guys that were talking today, and they were talking, there was some kind of a meeting, I don't know how long ago it was, and they were talking about T.D. Jakes, and the guy, I think his name was Todd Frill, I can't remember, but he played this recording. I'm assuming that T.D. Jakes was on Oprah's show, I'm not sure, but he was preaching, and you could hear her. You could tell that she was playing clips from a sermon that he had preached and how she was agreeing with everything he said and how he was dodging coming out and saying that Jesus Christ was the only way. And I know you all have heard it. I've heard bits and pieces of it where he's asked the question about there being many paths to God and how he just avoided that. And when you look at where the church is today and you talk to a lot of our young people who are growing up in these churches with these half-teachings, it's just it is astonishing to me. I'm not shocked at T.D. Jakes, because I've said over and over again, I believe that he's a plant from the enemy on a mission, and I believe that he knows that that's what he's doing. I believe he knows that he's on assignment, and I believe that he knows exactly what he's doing, and him and Oprah are in this thing together. But when you look at some of these other churches, and I know I'm not saying he's the only one. I think a whole lot of them fit that bill. But it just amazes me how other people follow suit. And everybody's doing because they look at T.D. Jakes and they look at how big his church is and they're following what he's doing. And it's like there's nothing in you that says that if I don't preach Christ and Christ alone as the only way to God, that I'm no longer preaching the gospel and that the word of God says that I'm an accursed person. I mean, does this ever come up with these people? There's a church here in Cincinnati area. Big, humongous church, one of these seeker-friendly churches. This was like 2 or 3 years ago. They did a passion play. But 2 or 3 weeks before they did the passion play, they allowed a rock group to have a concert in their sanctuary. Now, I'm not talking a quote-unquote Christian rock. I'm talking a rock group. Now, I don't remember what rock group it was, but they allowed this ungodly, devil-worshipping group to have a concert in their sanctuary. My first question was, why they even come to a church to do that, except that they had, you know, plans, because, you know what kind of stuff they do. So my first question to the church is, why would you even agree to that? So, and the only reason I know about this was because one of their members is a coworker of mine. And when she was telling me about it, I'm like looking at her like, what? She said, well, wait. And I said, but why would you allow these people that hate your Jesus to have a concert in your church? And she said, well, we just believe that if they see our banners, they'll feel the love of God.
Oh, my God.
And if I tell you she was sincere, well, let me tell you what happened. It was either 2 or 3 weeks after this rock group came and threw a concert in this church. They did a passion play. And every time I think about this, it breaks my heart
they did a passion play, and this is a big church, so they had money to pay for all of the tricks and all of the bells and whistles. They had these three women that played the angels, you know, for you know to show the wise men how to get to the baby, the Messiah.
Uh-huh.
And so they had them hooked up to wires and had them, you know, up in the air so that it looked like they were angels flying around in the air. If you could just imagine this. Well, one of the women that was playing one of these angels, her harness broke, and she fell head first 40 feet to the ground and died.
Oh, my God.
In front of babies. And you know what my coworker's response was? Well, you know, well, sometimes we don't understand why God. I said, stop right there. I said, God had nothing to do with that. Don't you lay that at his feet. I said, you let a rock group do God only knows what in your sanctuary.
Right.
I said, do you think they was praising the Lord?
No.
What kind of spirits do you think were released? And then you think you can have a passion play and think that, oh, our banners are just – no, you got to stop playing with God like that. Because the only thing you can lay at God's feet is that you chose to go back into Egypt. You chose to lock arms with the Canaanites and let them spirits up in here. And he said in his word, I share my glory with nobody. You're not going to have the devil up in here and then think I'm just going to show up because you're doing a passion play.
That's right.
You know, and what was sad to me was that every time you heard someone who was a member of the church talk about it, they talked about the tragedy, but nobody dealt with the spiritual connotations of the decision that y'all made.
Right.
And this is one of them churches that's got the ATM in the lobby. They've got the Starbucks in the lobby. They've got it's a place where you can get donuts and all that kind of stuff. They got the cup holders in the chair so you could drink your coffee during. It's one of them kind of seeker friendly churches.
Mm.
When I heard about what I was like, the first thing that entered my mind was 2 weeks before, they let a rock group do a concert in their sanctuary.
Oh, have mercy.
You know what I'm saying? This was like 10 years ago. We've got to start taking God seriously.
Right. That's true.
Because he will allow you to lay in the bed that you make.
All right.
Yeah, we gotta stop playing and I'm trying to understand why we're so fascinated with the world. We should be disgusted by the things that they do. Now you love the people and you share, but you love them enough to share the gospel. But I'm not gonna let you come into my house with your witchcraft and think that because I got a Bible laying on the counter, you gonna just feel the love. No. God said have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. You can't bring that up in here.
All right.
Right.
Because I have too much love and respect for the Holy Spirit that God blessed to me to have a dwelling with. I'm not going to have him uncomfortable because I need him to dwell here. I need him to dwell here more than I need to pay my rent.
All right.
And you're not going to come up in here with no Ouija board. You're not going to come up in here with no playing cards. You're not going to come up in here with no little charms and no little crystals and, you know, all the little dumb stuff that people think is, oh, it's just a little trinket to just keep me. No, you're not coming up in here with none of that. And how dare you, this is supposed to be the house of God, and then it's the sanctuary, and you let a rock group come in here?
All right.
That's right.
That woman died in front of babies. I mean, can you just imagine?
It's going to be ingrained, yeah. Mm-hmm.
My Lord, those children saw that. Don't you lay that at the foot of God.
Right.
That's right.
The devil did that.
That's right. What they don't understand is that when they brought that rock group up in there and they made all that money from that rock group, the devil desires a sacrifice. And what people don't know, they're playing around with the devil, but he's playing for keeps.
That's right.
And you dab and dibble with the devil, it's got to be a sacrifice somewhere.
And I believe that's what that woman ended up being.
Yes. 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 So we're trying to let people know it's real out here. This is a real devil. He don't love you. He come to kill, steal, destroy you. You know?
Absolutely.
And we're trying to give you life and life more abundant to be the best life you ever have.
Amen.
And when you give to him, when you give your life to him, he will lead you and guide you from earth to glory.
Amen.
Yes.
In every area. And I get so sick and tired of hearing people say, well, you know, there are some things that God has just given us enough intelligence that we should be able to figure out. I'm like, no, no, no. He said, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. There is nothing that you got so much intelligence you don't need God. That's a dangerous place to be. You know, that's so arrogant. That is such an arrogant. I've heard more people make comments like, well, there's just some things. You know, people start talking about, you know, dating. I'm not even going to get into the dating scene when it comes to believers. I'll just say I don't believe Christians should date, and I'm going to stop there. But, you know, I just think God gives us enough intelligence that you should be able to be able to get to know a person. I'm like, really? So what happens if you meet this person that's wonderful, everything that you want him or her to be, and you marry this person, and 10 years into the marriage, they have a car accident? And that car accident causes some type of brain damage where they have to clip a piece of that person's brain. And when that person comes out of the hospital, they're a totally different person. There is no scripture to release you from that marriage if you can't deal with the new person that you're married to. And the reason that I even made that was because I used to work. There was a guy that was my supervisor. That happened to his daughter. She had a car accident and had a brain injury. There was some kind of pressure, so they had to clip a piece of her brain off, and it completely altered her personality. Only God knows who you can still love in 50 years. You can know a person all your life and not know anything about them.
That's true.
We're intelligent enough that we can pick our own mates. You better pray and ask the Lord, is this the one?
Amen.
You know, I'm going to put my money in this bank. Well, you don't know if that bank's going to go bankrupt or something. Somebody's going to run off. I mean, how many Christians were ripped off by Bernie Madoff? We got to get to a place where we pray about everything. God said, in all thy ways. He didn't say, in all thy ways that you feel inadequate. He said, in all thy ways. Acknowledge me. I'll direct you.
Yes.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
I mean, he knows all things. I would rather have somebody leading me that knows all things than somebody who's trying to guess with me.
Amen.
We're blind leading the blind.
All right.
Like, come on, people. Lord,
oh,
help
my.
Us.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, my God. Mm-mm-mm-mm. Good.
Yes, he is. I just love him.
We're just trying to make a difference. And I believe, you know, God's will, you know, that we are making a difference. Somebody is listening. Maybe everybody's not going to hear you. Everybody ain't going to hear you anyway. Jesus was here. They didn't hear him. You know, so we just going to do what thus says the Lord in this last hour and run like never before and tell the people to get up and run for your life.
Amen.
Run.
Run for your life.
Run for your life.
Because the days are short. He's coming. He's on his way. I know it seemed like we've been tarrying, and, you know, when is the day of his coming? Honey, he's coming.
Amen.
I mean, every time I come across another passage in the Word of God where the passage is showing where he made a promise way back over here, and then you over here in this passage, and it done came to pass, it makes me want to get up and run. to just constantly see the faithfulness of God.
Yes.
And I'm like, every time that sun comes up, and when you get up in the morning, even if it's pouring down rain, and when that sun comes up, that's your guarantee that he's coming back here.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, I thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness, God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Prayer.
You're breaking up. I'm hearing bits and pieces of what you're saying.
Lead us in prayer, honey.
Who, me or Sister Johnson?
Either one. Take the floor. Lead us in prayer.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you and praise you, Lord God, for this day. We thank you for the Ready Church. We thank you, Lord God, for the word that has went out, oh God. We pray the hearts will open to hear the word of God and to receive it with joy and gladness on tonight, God. We thank you for the word of God, which is a lamp unto our feet.